This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Yeah? Good? We ready? Cool. Sure. Why not?
Hey,
You
know, I just figured that out.
That you could stop a clip?
Oh, no, I already knew that. But, you know, some clips work better if you stop them partway through. And that one appears to do that. I hope it annoys everyone.
Messi! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
Why'd you scream right there? That was weird.
You just played.
No, I know, but you
didn't. That clip 11 times.
You think I scared people? Someone just fell out the bed.
Audio Red Bull, baby. We start your day off with a little gas, a little juice, a little electricity on the show. We want you to join us from 6 to 10 a.m. to start your day off. Full throttle, all afterburner. See, I'm trying to catch up with me right now. All afterburner, all gas, no brakes, YOLO, full send, yeet.
What was that, full send?
Full send.
Full send.
Yeah, full
okay.
Send.
I didn't hear the D in there.
Oh, full send.
Okay, because full send and full send sound like two different things.
My deepest apologies from this point forward through the remainder of the broadcast. I will fully enunciate all of my words.
Some words, it's probably better that you do that.
That's also probably fair. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in. Great to have you. The four-hour sports talk extravaganza that is the Rob Brown Show starts now on a Wednesday. Turn it up. Lot to get to. Lot to talk about on the radio broadcast today. Coming up, Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, will join us at 8:40 this a.m. I'm not going to jinx it because this has happened to us. It happens to every radio show host that you get real pumped up. You got real excited about a guest you got lined up. You think it's on the books, and then you get the phone call like the day before that says, oh, sorry, we had some stuff come up, and we're going to have to postpone, delay, or cancel. I'm not saying that is what is going to happen. I am saying yesterday I spent about 10 minutes on the phone with the agent and publicist of a longtime National Football League Hall of Fame linebacker that I am hoping will be on the show either tomorrow or Friday. Fingers crossed. I won't say the name because that is how the jinx happens. You say the name and he does not appear. And I don't want to not believe in this guy. So I will very simply tell you that I spent about 10 minutes on the phone yesterday with the publicist and the agent of a professional football Hall of Fame linebacker, and the only hint I shall give you is that he played the majority of his ball for the then San Diego Chargers. Don't say the name if you know it. Don't jinx it. Don't ruin it for us. All right.
It's not Joe Hendry. I know.
Well, he didn't play professional football for the San Diego Chargers.
I mean, not everyone knows whether he did or didn't. I mean, but yeah.
I'm pretty sure most of us know Joe Hendry did not play years of professional football and go to the National Football League Hall of Fame as a member of the San Diego Chargers.
No, most of us don't know that.
I'm not saying I don't believe that he could if he wanted to, because again, I do believe in Joe Hendry. But that's not who we're talking about here. I will let you know when we get that confirmed. As of right now, it is tentatively scheduled for either tomorrow or Friday with a confirmation coming later today. But fingers crossed, we'll see where that goes. We've got coming up on the show today a whole lot of NFL draft talk because it is picked up, as it should. We're 55 days away? 54 days away, something like that?
Tis from the NFL draft. Season to talk draft.
Hashtag smokescreen season, bro. It's my favorite time of year because everyone in the NFL is a liar, and it's great. And I'm interested in everybody in the NFL being a liar this year as much, if not more, than other years.
You know, I was thinking about that because you've said that forever, and I agree with you.
Because I'm right.
But why does that not apply to Aaron Rodgers? And all the people, oh, no, he's washed up, he's done. Why does it not apply to him?
So it doesn't, except for Aaron Rodgers isn't draftable.
I'm just talking about the entire season period because Aaron Rodgers and other free agent quarterbacks out there can affect how another team would draft. And by saying, oh, I'm not interested in them. And then, you know, suddenly the price of their pick, if they want to get rid of it, can go up and things like that.
I think that, and I can only speak for me, when I am giving analysis of an in-the-league player, I'm not approaching it from the standpoint of what does that player have in terms of impact on the draft itself. I'm having a conversation from the standpoint of, if a team makes a move for this guy, whether it costs them draft capital or not, what do they add to the team? Now, the trading of draft capital certainly can come into play for a guy like that. But if you believe that a quarterback that is available for trade or just to pick up as a free agent, and again, Aaron Rodgers is a straight-up free agent. It's not a trade. You don't have to give up any draft capital for the guy. You just go sign him. If you are interested in adding Aaron Rodgers to your team, you're doing it on, what is it, free agency period starts up March 12th, I believe. You're doing it, like you're having that talk now, right? Like you're engaged in contract negotations now.
Why did they show LeBron?
That's not the picture to use, guys.
Yeah, why did they do that?
That's rude.
That's messed up.
All right, I'm going to come back to the Aaron Rodgers thing because now I want to talk about this instead. And it's my show. LeBron James last night did something very, very special. About 4 minutes into a game that I was watching against my New Orleans Pelicans.
He has 26 20-point games this year. LeBron, open three. Got it! 22 seasons, 40 years of age. LeBron James, 50,002 points.
And he's not done. That's the good part about it all.
8 minutes, 34 seconds remaining in the first quarter. Luka Doncic drives off the right-hand side. He finds LeBron James, like I said would happen a lot, wide ass open on the left wing outside the three-point line. Luka drops a dime into LeBron's hands. He fires up a three from about 3 feet behind the arc, drills it, and LeBron James becomes the first player in NBA history to record 50,000 points on a career. But it's okay because later on Zion had a dunk. So everything's fine for my birds.
All you naysayers out there, man, they're showing highlights right now. They look good.
Zion can still play, man, but like,
oh, I wasn't noticing him. I was watching.
You should. He actually played pretty well last night. LeBron James, 34 points, 8 boards, 6 assists, but more importantly, crossed the 50,000 point mark, the only player in the history of the National Basketball Association to do that since he has turned 40 years of age. The Lakers have played 23 games. LeBron is averaging 26 points, 8 boards, 8 assists. Last night, Luka Doncic went 35-5. He is just the fourth player in Laker history to do that. One of the others is LeBron James. They both did it last night in the game. Just like Rob Brown told you, this Lakers team is now good. Not pretty good, not okay, not a threat. They are good. They are a good basketball team. But I didn't bring all that up to talk to you about how good the Lakers are, how good LeBron is, how good Luka is, how I was absolutely spot on, dead ass accurate about everything
You're
I said after
the
trade.
Go about the losing team, are you?
No.
Okay.
I'm all about right. to talk about what we just saw on television. Exactly.
It's so messed up.
ESPN, which we keep on in the early portion of the morning, because for the first few hours of the morning, they actually show SportsCenter. Like, you know, when we were all cheering and woke up early to watch 30 minutes of SportsCenter before we went to school.
We also explore every avenue of possible breaking news. So not just social media, but TV.
SportsCenter.
That way we can get you what you need to know.
Listen, I don't want to bag on ESPN. I want to love ESPN. They have been an integral part of my entire life. But just give me SportsCenter. Tell me what's happening. Anyway. We've got that on the TV. There's a TV that hangs right here halfway between Zoe and I that we can both put eyeballs on during the show.
Please
we keep it up there for,
again.
I didn't, it was a tap, it was a love
yeah,
tap.
Yeah, it's moving though.
That we can both watch during the show. It did move, it slid over a little bit.
Yeah,
that we can
stop.
Both watch during the show so we can keep an eye on, as Lonzo pointed out, breaking news, here's what's happening. Does anybody say something dumb that we want to address immediately? Or do they show something that we go, that's it, train wreck this segment, I got to talk about this. Like I am right this very second. They just put up, at the beginning of a highlight package about the Lakers taking on and destroying my Pelicans last night, they put up a graphic of LeBron to celebrate the 50K points, as what is deserved to be celebrated. 50K points, only guy to ever do it before. The longevity of a man who has been in the league over 2 decades now should be celebrated. I do not care how you feel about him personally. The guy is one of, if not the greatest basketball players. If nothing else, the longevity of the career establishes that. But again, not what triggered me to talk about this. What did was the picture they chose to utilize as the graphic for Braun. You know, LeBron, before the game, he goes to the scorer's table and he does the thing where he pours a bunch of baby powder in his hand and then he bends down and whew, he throws it in the air. It has become an iconic trademark signature moment for LeBron to the point that I have seen guys and gals of every age and every level emulating in lower level basketball games because, again, LeBron James. Again, fine. Good, good graphic. They showed him from the back with the hands outstretched in the Lakers jersey with James and the 23 across the back. All good. Alonzo, would you like to describe why it is that both of us went, oh no.
You know, male pattern baldness is hereditary. And, you know, it's passed on from dad to son, from son to son, you know. And I don't know why they need to do him like that. We all know that he's balding. But why do they, I mean, doctor the picture. I'm okay with it. Just doctor it a little bit.
The picture that they elected to use for this graphic showing LeBron arms outstretched from behind him to put the James 23 jersey was a fine choice, except for they highlighted Braun's bald spot in the back of his dome as if that's what the segment was about. Not 50,000 points. Man, listen. I'm not saying that if you are a man experiencing baldness, if you are a man going through that who is losing the hair, don't worry about it, all right? Don't worry about it. It's just hair. It ain't you. It doesn't define you. There's nothing wrong with you if you're going bald.
Hey, he tried to fix it, and everyone went at him when he tried to fix it.
He did.
Yeah, and then he's just like, okay, I can't win.
Yeah. I mean, for the
record. If he shaves it off, he may not look good bald. I mean, a lot of guys do. He may not. And maybe he did some CGI or something to see what, I mean, because he can afford it. Plus, he has his own production company. Okay, show me what I look like bald. No, I can't do that.
For the record, again, like, if you're balding, don't worry about it. It ain't the end of the world. But that is, I think that is pretty descriptive, pretty illustrative of the career of LeBron. He can't win. It doesn't matter what he does. When he was in Cleveland by himself, he was doing it the wrong way. He goes to Miami doing it the wrong way. I would like to point out that here we are, and still yesterday, as LeBron was gearing up to go get Fitty K, entered that game with 49,999 points. We enter that game, and I see people on the internet making, "I'm taking my talent to South Beach" jokes. Do you remember when that happened? 10 years ago. 2015.
I thought it was longer than that.
10 years ago. The "I'm taking my talent to South Beach" happened. Since then, if you cut his career in half, LeBron James has won more championships than most of your favorite players. He's gone to more All-Star games than most of your favorite players. He's put up more points than most of your favorite players. He's put up more assists than most of your favorite players. Just in the past 10 years, LeBron James has been arguably the greatest player of our generation. My man crosses the 50K mark last night. Kobe didn't do it. Michael didn't do it. Hakeem didn't do it. Big O didn't do it. Magic didn't do it. None of those cats did it. 50K points last night, and I get online. I stayed up late. I turned on the beginning of that game. That game tipped off at like 10 p.m. So I stayed up. I watched the speech from the President of the United States. I watched TGL, Tiger Woods, and his Jupiter Golf Club losing again. They're like 1-4. It was bad. I stayed up watching college basketball. Auburn getting dismantled by Texas A&M literally an hour after I went on BetMGM tonight and said, "Oh, Auburn 4.5-point favorites. I'd lay 5.5. Guaranteed. Lock of the day, of the week, of the month, of the century." And then they turn around and get absolutely hammered by Texas A&M. I'm watching all of it. And then it gets to be about 10 o'clock. And I'm texting back and forth with the boys, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to watch Lakers-Pels. I'm going to watch Lakers-Pels because I know we suck, but, like, there's a chance at history. LeBron James is getting his 50,000th point tonight. He only needs one. LeBron's not finishing scoreless. Of course he's getting it. So I'm going to tune in and watch it. And on top of that, he needs one, so I'm probably going to see it out of the gate, and I can go the hell to bed. So I tuned it in. I put it on the third TV screen. I was watching the game in the background because, again, I knew my Birds were going to lose by 40. I turn it on. LeBron knocks a three down with just over 8.5 left to play in the first quarter. And I decide, because I'm a masochist, I'm an idiot. I said, let me get on the social media and see what the people have to say. And there's two distinct groups of people on social media. There's half the people like me that are going, this guy is, if he's not the GOAT, he's no further down than two. Like, he's right there, right? And the longevity of LeBron James, as far as I'm concerned, the fact that at 40, it's not just that he's 40, it's that he's 40, and he's still one of the best four or five players in the NBA. 26-8-8. Actually, sorry, almost 27-8-8 is his average score line at 40 years of age. There's guys in the GOAT conversation that aren't doing that at 25. He's doing it at 40. And then there's another group of people online who are like, "I'm taking my talents to South Beach. Oh, he had to go to the Lakers." Is LeBron James on a super team right now? No! With Luka added now.
A couple weeks ago, maybe.
But for the record, if you believe him, and I kind of do, LeBron didn't have anything to do with that. Nico Harrison called the Lakers and was like, "Hey, would you like to empty our bank account for no good reason on our behalf?"
Not going well for that guy right now.
Yeah. Yeah, Kyrie's done with a torn ACL. It led Street Clothes to decide, well, I'll go ahead and shut it down too. No point in me coming back if Kyrie's not out there. So now the Mavericks aren't going to win another game this season. It ain't on LeBron that the Mavs just handed them Luka Doncic on a platter. Of course they're taking that. This man put up 50,000 points. I get online last night and like half of America is crapping on him. Why? 40 years old, he's outperforming all but like six players in the NBA right now.
All right, Rob, I don't know if you knew this or not, but he's not Michael Jordan.
I watched that game, tipped off at 10. I ended up not going to bed until midnight because I was mad at the internet. I started off the night like, oh, Trump's giving a speech. The internet's going to be a dumpster fire tonight. Turns out, Donald Trump's the second most divisive person in America. The first is LeBron James, apparently for no reason. Oh, well. 50,000 points for the king. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We got a lot that we got to get to on the radio broadcast today. We're going to talk a lot of NFL draft coming up on the radio program. We got to talk some Major League Baseball as spring training rolls on now. Less than a month, screw that, like 2.5 weeks away from opening day. We got a lot to get to. Don't go anywhere. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed's sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I learned something this morning, both about myself and about South Carolina Gamecock women's basketball coach Dawn Staley, of course, a coaching legend, a college basketball legend, a WNBA legend. I learned something about myself, and it is this. I'm not a sneaker guy. I'm not a sneaker guy. Although I'm trending in that direction.
Wait. No. You definitely criticize anybody else who's not wearing what you think is...
No. You have taken my labeling dad shoes as dad shoes as criticism. It's not criticism. I own dad shoes.
It has negative connotations
it
to it. So it absolutely is criticism.
No, it
criticism.
Doesn't. You have you, taken it.
You use it as a dig at me.
No, I don't. Yeah. I tell my friends they have dad shoes.
We've all heard it.
No, you just take everything personally. It's not
I do
criticism
not.
Of
I
you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there it is.
I don't take things personal.
I am not a sneaker guy. I do, however, have like 3 or 4 pairs of nice sneakers.
All right, you need to clarify. So sneaker guy is a guy who buys them and puts them on the shelf.
Sneaker guy is a guy who spends inordinate amount of money on sneakers and then... Like, it's as much a collection as it is.
And then criticizes me for collecting anime statues.
I don't do that.
No. I'm talking sneaker guy.
No, sneaker guy is just guy who spends hundreds of dollars on sneakers and then wraps them as a collection
those
to
things,
show off.
Yeah, those things were made to wear. I'm just saying. I mean,
do your thing. You know. All right? Collect what you want to collect. Wear what you want to wear. Do what you want to wear. I'm good with it. It's just, it's never been for me. But I got married back in September. And for those of you who maybe are new to the show or didn't hear me talking about it, I bought my first ever pair of Nike Air Force Ones. I bought high top AF1s in the exact same color as my suit and then trimmed them in gold thread for a wedding day. And I bought them thinking I'm going to buy these, I'm going to wear them, and I'm going to break them out only when I wear that suit. And that is what has happened, because I've put the wedding suit into my rotation for other events. So when I've gotten called out to go do speeches or presentations or MC events that require me to be dressed up, or, you know, the Triumph have called me and asked me to host some dinners and stuff like that, I will, every now and then, I will break out the wedding suit. It's like a sage green and the matching Air Force Ones, so that I can go, I'm still cool, because I am. I bought them thinking, because they weren't cheap, to get them customized in the exact color with the gold thread, with the trim embroidered across the back. They weren't cheap, but it's the wedding. I'm like, I'm wearing these very rarely. I'm willing to spend the money for that day. I did. Now I'm kind of a fill. Now I kind of have an affliction, right? I have spent money on customized Vans for the hockey team, right? I got a pair of blue Vans with orange trim that say GVL, yeah, across the back of them. I've got a pair now of blue Jordan AF1 low tops for Triumph season, because they match the blue in the home kit this year, right? So I've kind of gotten into it.
So your excuse is for work.
It's not an excuse. I straight up will acknowledge I have a mild affliction for shoes now. It's not full-on sneakerhead, but like a mild fascination with the shoe game. I blame Cody Decker, okay? So yesterday, I was scrolling Instagram. Yesterday, I was rolling down the social media, and on my Instagram page, I follow a bunch of podcasts, right? I follow a bunch of podcasts, and a lot of them are basketball podcasts. Yesterday, I learned something, and the something that I learned was that during her time in the W, Dawn Staley had a signature shoe with Nike. It was called the Air Zoom S5. It dropped back in 1999. Dawn Staley was not just one of the first women to have a signature shoe, but the signature shoe featured her silhouette on it, shooting a jumper for Team USA. It's pretty stellar. And the NBA and WNBA hoops podcasting world recently, I don't know if they discovered or it was reinvigorated or what, but recently discovered these shoes. I just popped it up on the stream, facebook.com/thefanupstate, the Fan Upstate on YouTube or X, the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. I just popped it up on the screen. They haven't made these shoes, obviously, in about 20 plus years, 25 years now. They made them from like 99 to 2001 before they went out of rotation. I want one of these. Not one of these. I want a pair of these. I don't want one shoe. I'd like a pair of the Dawn Staley Air Zoom S5s. That's a dope shoe. I did not know that Dawn had a signature shoe. In 1999, I will acknowledge, I was 14 years old. And so while I was a big basketball fan, my dad, my mom, who I love both very dearly, I was very fortunate to have a spectacular two-parent home upbringing, and I know that I am very fortunate for that. They weren't buy you $100-plus pair of footwear parents, okay? They weren't. They were, we're heading to the Walmart, we'll get you a pair of the Shaq signatures, right? We'll take you up to the Goodwill. And again, I appreciate that. Because now, as a 40-year-old guy, I'm not a dude who goes to the mall and picks up $150 pair of sneakers that I'm going to wear once a month. And my bank account is very grateful for that, because I'd rather have experiences than stuff. But I'm kind of trending in that direction. I did not know Dawn Staley had her own signature shoe. More importantly, I'm genuinely thrilled that the minute that the internet found out about these shoes, everybody's on board now. I saw like six different podcasts yesterday that had these sneaks revealed to them. And more importantly, it's not just about the shoe, because I do love the shoe. Again, I got it. If you're not watching on the stream, I got it pulled up right now. If you haven't seen these, you can come to the stream right now and take a look at them. It's not just about the shoe, which it's a good shoe. Like, it's a good look at you. And on top of that, this is what's really interesting. There was a one of the pods. I don't remember who it was because I saw it yesterday at like noon, and that was a long time ago. These shoes, these sneaks, were probably, I can't say definitively, but probably the first like foam composite shoe. Right, which is kind of a big thing in the basketball world now, are these foam composite shoes. The foam is lighter. The shoes don't weigh as much, but they still have structural integrity, which if you're like me and your ankles roll over off the side of a quarter-inch curb, having structural integrity to your basketball shoe is kind of muy importante.
So they're not a shoe that Zion could bust out of.
Well, I don't know. Zion's a big SOB. That's one big son of a Zion. He's a big dude. So I don't know. But I do know that these were probably, maybe, but not definitively, but maybe the first foam composite shoe, meaning the Dawn Staley signature Nike Air Zoom S5 was ahead of the sneaker game by like years. The foam composites are what most of the NBA signatures are now. And this segment isn't about shoes. I mean, it's about this shoe, but it's not about shoes. Here's what I love about this. What I love about this is that the Hoops World, including a number of pods that are hosted by current and former NBA players, are all clamoring to get this shoe made. We've got SIGs from Caitlin Clark. We've got SIGs from Angel Reese. We've got SIGs from Cam Brink. Now we're bringing back the SIGs from back in the day. Now we're bringing back Dawn Staley signatures. What that tells me is the advancement of basketball, not men's basketball, not NBA basketball, just the sport of basketball. Men's, women's, pros, college, new hoops, old hoops. It's in the mindset. We spent a week and a half going into the NBA All-Stars game talking about how bad the product was. And don't get me wrong, there's some stuff that needs a fixing for sure. But we spent a very long time talking about how bad the product was, and yet, in the world of pop culture, which is, like it or not, where the public mindset, where conventionalism, consensus comes from, Dawn Staley is in the conversation. Dawn Staley, whose WNBA / Team USA days were in the last century, for the past day or two, has been at the forefront of the discussion. We're not just talking about women's basketball. We're talking about decades of women's basketball. We're not just talking about women's basketball. We're talking about basketball. I got LeBron putting down 50K. I got Luka Doncic being the talking point of sports for a week and a half. And now I got Dawn Staley showing up on my feed in bulk because she had signature shoes back in 99 that I didn't even know about until right now. This is fantastic. This is awesome. I love this for Dawn. I love this for women's hoops. I love this for basketball in general, that the pop culture conversation is now including a legend from back in the late 90s. That's good for hoops, man. Good for ball. Let's take a break. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Lonzo and you. I want to get back to something we opened the show with. Well, we opened the show with LeBron's hairline, or at least ESPN deciding that that was the best photo they could come up with the guy. However,
I hope it's a trend. I hope they show John Cena like that next.
There was a picture of Cena. standing on the rings or on the ring after Elimination Chamber. My dude needs to just go Dwayne. Just shave it bald, John. Just shave it. Just be done with it.
I mean, he's rocked a crew cut for a long time.
Yeah, or go back to the military style cut. Hide it a little bit.
It's not that much of a stretch to just go ahead and take it the rest of the way off.
I want to go back and talk about LeBron.
Just keep the hat on.
Or just keep the hat on. I don't know if he's ever wrestled in a hat before. He always throws it. I don't know if he's not going to do that now. We'll see. I want to go back and talk about LeBron for a second. 50,000 points. Well, 50,002 as of the moment with 8:38 left in the first quarter that he knocked down a left wing three to be the first NBA player to cross the 50K points mark. The man is 40 years old, has been for, 2.5 months now? The Lakers have played, since he turned that age, the Lakers have played 23 basketball games. In those 23 games, LeBron James has been averaging a ridiculous number. 28 games, he has averaged 26.4 points on 54% shooting, 42 1/3 percent from three, 8.2 boards, and 8.1 assists. Now, put those numbers in the noggin for a second. 26.4 points, 8.2 boards, 8.1 assists. I want to give you another set of numbers for LeBron James, which was 26.8 points compared to this year's 26.4, 56.5% shooting compared to 54.1% shooting this year, 40.6% from three compared to 42.3% from three this year, 8 rebounds compared to 8.2 this year, and 7.2 assists compared to 8.1 assists this year. The second set of numbers that I just gave you was LeBron James' season of 2012-2013 when he played for the Miami Heat. Why did I single out that year, you might ask? Because LeBron James was the NBA's MVP that year. In a year in which he was named on a team with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, the NBA MVP, he was averaging 0.4 point, not even a half a point more per game. He was shooting that year 2% better. He was shooting 2% worse from three. He was averaging 0.2 more rebounds and a full one fewer assist the year he won the MVP. Man, it's 40 years old. This is a spot where, and we've talked about this, this is a long-running trope of the show. The concept of appreciation of a player or a guy that maybe you don't line up with them in their personal viewpoints, their personal life, but still understand what they are on a court. I say this as I look up at the television, and they're doing a breakdown on the injury of Kyrie Irving. ACL popped. He's done for the year. Kyrie Irving is kind of that guy for me. I think it's silly that he's walking around basketball arenas burning sage to clear the bad spirits out. I think it's goofy that he thinks that the earth is flat. I think the conspiracy theories that Kyrie Irving clings to his beliefs are absolutely bleeping ridiculous. I also appreciate that Kyrie Irving, this year until the ACL popped, was averaging 39.3 minutes per game, most in the NBA, was averaging over 28 points per game, which is fourth best in the NBA. Those are his numbers since Luka Doncic got traded to the Lakers. His numbers on the season are in line with those numbers. I appreciate the ability to watch Kyrie Irving play basketball, even if I believe his off-the-court beliefs and activities are dumb as hell. What I am saying here is, if you have watched LeBron James and you have gotten after him for his off-the-court activities, whether it's his politics or his views on entertainment or the fact that he has decided that he wants to be as good of a businessman and billionaire as he was an NBA player, or I should say still is an NBA player, you're missing out if you're a basketball fan. You're just missing out. If you're anti-LeBron for what he does on the floor, maybe you're the cat that looks and goes, oh, he whines, he flops, he dives. Maybe. Maybe he does. But I would also say to you, in what is and has been for some time, and I don't really understand it, but I guess that's because I believe it, LeBron James is playing to the NBA. LeBron James is doing what LeBron James needs to do in order to be the best LeBron James he can be for the Los Angeles Lakers. LeBron James has figured out some things about the league. Like, for instance, the fact that historically the names of the games get themselves calls. And if you act it up, sometimes you get more of those calls. LeBron James has one job as an NBA player. That job is to go win basketball games and to go win NBA championships. That's his job. And I will be the first in line to say, I think LeBron takes that job very seriously. I think LeBron takes that job as seriously as anybody else in the league. Now, you can make the argument that LeBron doesn't have the Mamba mentality. He doesn't attack the game like Michael Jordan did. And that's all well and good. LeBron James does not need to be playing basketball at 40 years of age. LeBron James, if he's not already, is going to be the first athlete billionaire. The first guy who becomes a billionaire because of his athletic prowess. Now, obviously, a lot of that's going to come with his Hollywood career. He had the Space Jam sequel. He was in that movie Trainwreck with Amy Schumer. He's done all these different things.
And John Cena.
And John Cena. He's done all these different things. But he got the opportunity to do all those different things because of the fact that for a very long time, he was the best basketball player on planet Earth. I don't know if he's the best. He's not the best basketball player on planet Earth. Now, he's one of the best 10, though. Go find me the list of guys that are right now averaging 26-8-8. It's not a long list. Luke is on it, by the way, but that's a different story. If you are a basketball fan at all, and you're not watching LeBron, you're costing yourself the opportunity to watch something special, and frankly, I feel bad for you. You're costing yourself the opportunity to, and I think that we use this phrase a little bit liberally in 2025 and have for a very long time. You are costing yourself the chance to watch history happen as it happens. I think there's a lot of stuff that happens in sports that we want to slap that historic label on. A lot of things that happen in sports where something that certainly stands out gets labeled as historic. And it's like, yeah, I mean, it's real good, but is it historic is something to me that jumps off the page. Not is very special. Not is something that justifies a segment or two on the Rob Brown Show. But something that you look at it and you go, we're going to be talking about this forever. What LeBron James is doing this season is one of those things. And I believed that 25 games, 30 games into the season, when it was very clear that even with Anthony Davis missing time, not as much at the beginning of the year, but he was still missing some games. Despite the fact that Braun was going to do something that makes sense, but all of you hate in load management, and was going to sit out of a few back-to-backs, it was very obvious to me, 20 to 25 games into the season, that the season we are about to watch from LeBron James is going to be something very special. The guy is turning in not an all-star year. He's turning in an all-star starter year. He's turning in a year that, statistically speaking, is identical to a year 13 years ago that he was named the NBA's MVP. We are watching something historic. And last night, if you stayed up real late and you turned on the television around 10 p.m. and you tuned in to watch the Lakers and the Pelicans, my team stinks. It hurts my heart. But if you tuned in to watch that game, maybe you knew LeBron was on 49,999 points and you wanted to watch the first time that an NBA player reached 50K. Or maybe you just wanted to see, now that the minutes limitation is lifted on Luka Doncic and they were going up against a less than mid team, again, I hate my basketball team. Maybe you just wanted to see what this Lakers squad was going to look like after Rob Brown spent a solid segment of the show yesterday telling you the Lakers are now Western Conference contenders. Not outside looking in. The call is coming from within the house. Whatever reason. If you tuned in last night, you didn't just watch a moment of history. It was a moment in history. 50K points. We're going to be talking about that forever. From this point forward, every single player that goes out there and has a season in which they average 28, 29, 30, 31, 32 points, every season from this point forward, it is going to be brought up that in order to catch LeBron James and surpass a 50,000-point mark, this player will have to stay on this pace for 17, 18, 20, 22, 24 more years to catch LeBron James. That's what we got to watch last night, the beginning of that conversation. And I thought it was real cool. If you have decided that you are not going to watch anything this guy does, because he's not Michael, because he's not Kobe, because he flops, because he load manages, whatever. What I would tell you is you have elected not to watch a guy who has figured out the psychology of the game, who has figured out the way the game works, who has figured out the niche that he fills within the game, has figured out the benefits that he receives for being him in this game, and is utilizing all of those different scenarios to put himself at the top, not just of the all-time scoring list, but to put himself as the only member of the 50,000-point club. It's not exclusive. He is the only one in it. It is more than that.
Well, that still makes it exclusive, right?
I mean, exclusive to me means, yeah, some people get in, some people don't. He's the only one. It's not a club. Club requires multiple people.
Is anybody even close?
No.
Is there a possibility of anyone ever hitting this again?
No. For Luka to get there, averaging 28 points a game, Luka will have to play until like 2043, the year 2043, to get close. And by the way, not only would he have to play till like the year 2043, but he would have to play till the year 2043 at the level that he's playing at 25 in 2025. I'll put it this way, Zoe. If I said to you right now, put $1,000 down today, and if Luka maintains that and gets to 45,000 points, I will turn that $1,000 that you put down into $1 million in 2045. You'd be silly to take that bet. You'd be silly to take that bet. If I bet you $1,000 to turn into $1 million, that Luka gets to 45,000. And y'all know how I feel about Luka Doncic. I love the guy. I love his game. I love his approach to it. I watched him last night. There was an energy and electricity that he brought to the Lakers that they have not had this year, even with Bron going off. And you could feel it if you're a basketball guy. Watching that play out the way that that played out, watching him attack, even with that, I would not bet Luka Doncic to come anywhere close to LeBron James. That's what we're watching right now.
By the way, what's combined points mean? Is that that?
Regular season and playoffs.
Okay. All right.
Because he's at 41.7 in the regular season and 8,100 or 8,200 in the playoffs. So 50K career points includes regular season and postseason games. And again, benefit of the doubt, because in order to score 8,200-plus playoff points, you got to play in, I'm not good at math, a lot of playoff games.
Yeah, I think that checks out.
A lot. Like 20 years worth of making runs through the playoffs, not showing up and getting 3 or 5 games in a series. 20-plus years of repeatedly going deep into, winning through, picking up chips in order to get to 8,200 playoff points. He gets credit for that, too. A lot of great players couldn't put together the postseason runs that LeBron's put together. And don't hit me with, well, super teams. He dragged Big Z to an NBA Finals.
Big Z.
With all due respect to Big Z, he ain't Shaq, right? Like Kobe had. Don't give me this, he's been on super teams thing. I mean, he has. But so's just about every other superstar in the past 30 years in the NBA. I don't care. I mean, I do care. I don't like it, but yeah, like, whatever.
I need a super team defined. If it's organic?
I would say 3 all-stars on the team. If it's organic and built, that's credit to the organization, to the franchise, right?
But isn't it still a super team, though?
I mean, we talked about this earlier, negative connotations. The negative connotation of a super team is when multiple teams or multiple superstars around the league conspire to make sure they all end up in the same place. If the Milwaukee Bucks organically grow a super team around Giannis Antetokounmpo, they get the credit for that. I wish my team would figure it freaking out.
Nice restraint there.
You don't even know. I heard a clip earlier from former NBA player Tony Allen, who spent a couple of years down in New Orleans. We're going to play it for you in the Audio Blitz coming up at 8 o'clock. The best sound that we've heard since the last time we did the Audio Blitz yesterday at 8 o'clock in the morning. And he calls the Pelicans the worst franchise in the association. And the thing is, I listened to it. I heard it. I lived through the Tony Allen years. And I'm like, yeah, he's right. What do you know what it does to a man's pride, to a man's emotion, to a man's heart when he comes to the recognition, when he comes to the revelation, when he comes to some Asian?
Nice correction.
About the fact that he is a supporter and fan of the worst team in an organization, the worst team in an association, the worst team in a league, and there's nothing that's going to change about it. I want to throw myself. Everything hurts and I'm dying. Make me feel better with a sports flash.
By the way, he said Asian, A-T-I-O-N, not what you may think he said. The Gamecock men's basketball team, that's probably not making you feel better, fell to the Georgia Bulldogs last night. 73-64, South Carolina brought the game to single digits inside of 2 minutes, but Georgia out-rebounded them down the stretch to seal the win. Colin Murray Boyles scored 24, and Nick Pringle recorded 11, but no other Gamecock reached double digits. Number one team in America, the Auburn Tigers, were dominated last night by the Texas A&M Aggies, 83-72. The Tigers' worst performance of the season. The win was A&M's first ever over an AP number one ranked team and ends Auburn's 6-game winning streak. Tune in Saturday at 8 p.m. as the Furman Paladins take on the Samford Bulldogs in the first round of the SOCOM basketball tournament. Furman versus Samford. Right here on your home for Furman Paladins. Paladins basketball, the fan upstate.